So I still have a congregation, which is nice. Okay, made it through the first hurdle. I want to first thank absolutely everyone who was involved in all of the last week's activities, from Father David's last service to my installation, to the people who were here starting at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, to the people who were here to 11:30 at night cleaning up Fort Caroline Presbyterian's Parish Hall, to all of the people who... The committee sounds so ominous, doesn't it? Sounds like some like mob subgroup. Put all of the wonderful party together yesterday to honor and to all of you who went out of your way over the past several months to bless Father David and Janice. It has just been a truly wonderful week for everyone involved, and I want to take some time to personally thank each and every one of you. So thank you very much. It has been an incredible week. We had, I'm told, over 120 people here on Thursday night, which was an incredible blessing, even though we made 150 bulletins. So we have several left over. Now they are commemorative keepsake bulletins. We're charging $2 a pop, and we're putting it in the building fund. So, we trust you to be honest and just put it in the offering basket at the offertory. Moving on. Exactly. So, this is kind of new for me. I've never done a first sermon as a rector before. I've never done a vision casting sermon before. So I'm going to take a page out of Father David's playbook and ignore the lessons completely and draw from other passages. I am going, you know, someone said, I think Kathy said, don't look back. Well, you know, you can't move forward and look back because you will stumble. But when you have a role model as good as Father David, it's okay to take a moment and look back every now and then. Because it's a good thing to look back and see, when you have such a good example, how did he do certain things? But I want to let you know that Bishop Simpson did an incredible job preaching at my installation. And frankly, I just haven't had any time to get any of those sermons up on the website, but they're all going to come up shortly. And one of the things that he said that was absolutely profound and liberating and inspiring was he used the metaphor of running a race, but not just any race, running a relay race. Okay? And it was profound, and it was liberating for me, and I hope it was liberating for you, and I'm going to paraphrase it very briefly. He said, you know, Paul talks about the metaphor of the Christian walk is running a race, but ministry is running a relay race. And from Father David to myself, the baton has been handed off. And it is a good thing to root for all the members of a team in a relay race. You're not being disloyal to one to root for the other. Okay? If your kid is in a relay race, when his leg comes up, you hoop and holler and do all the sounding the air horns and waving them. But when he finishes, you don't stick your hands in your pocket and put your head down. Because you don't want your kid to feel like you're not supporting him by rooting for the other guy. Okay? The only way your kid's team is going to get a ribbon or a medal or a trophy is if the whole team wins. Okay? Well, we're all on the same team. Okay? So I'm sure that some of you have some questions, like, what's he going to do? How bad is he going to mess things up? How much is he going to change things? So I call you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. The passage begins with Jesus saying, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry." There's more, but it's not really important. Let's move on. No. Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Let your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or 'What will he change?' Or 'How will he mess things up?'" I'm sorry, I'm reading from the Message. Got to switch versions here. "For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So, I'm sure that after a pastorate like Father David's, 9 years of wonderful leadership, there is some anxiety about what I'm going to do next. Apparently, I am energetic. But you know what? If you've run a race well, even a relay race, by the time you get to the end, you're spent and you're tired. And it's time for the next guy to start off with a sprint and to get going. And I'm getting the signal from the sound guy that there's a problem with the mic. Test. Syllabus. Hold it like that. And there's a slit in his album that goes all the way up to his thigh. I don't think he should stand like that. It's not becoming for a rector. Seriously, Paul, is it good? Do I? All right. Really? Am I still good? Okay. See if I can edit that one out of the recording. So, desperately trying to remember where I was. Yes, there you go. Somebody was paying attention. Wonderful. Run, Forrest, run. Lovely. Whole section is going to be edited out of this one. So, it's normal to make some changes. It's appropriate. You know what? That's a good thing. But you don't have to worry about them. Okay? I'll let you know, I've been mentored by a really good pastor, and I know how to take care of a congregation. So I'm not going to do anything to completely upset the cart. But I want you to know that there are 3,000 congregations in Jacksonville. 3,000 churches. That's a whole lot of places that people could go in Jacksonville every Sunday morning to worship. Okay? And they got a lot of things going for them. So why are they here? Why are you here? Why are anybody else going to come here? When I had graduated high school, but before I went off to college, I had a job working at a fast food restaurant. I worked at a Hardee's. Okay? Now, Hardee's, what was that?
Good food.
Great breakfast. No. I didn't. But what I did was I was their breakfast cook, okay? But I was their breakfast cook at a time when they were going through this phase of their restaurant when they decided they weren't just going to do like the most incredible breakfast of any fast food restaurant around, but also they were going to do burgers, which they did really well, but they were going to do roast beef and sliced ham on sourdough bread, and they were also going to do fried chicken. Okay? Anybody remember this time in Hardee's career? Okay? It nearly bankrupted the company. Okay? Because they didn't know what they were doing. They were really good at biscuits and burgers. But instead of being really good at biscuits and burgers, they wanted to be really good at biscuits and burgers and chicken and roast beef and ham and all sorts of everything. And you know what they did? They got mediocre at everything. Okay? Their fried chicken wasn't that good because they couldn't really train their people on how to do it because they were too busy training their people on how to do everything else. And they never did get really good at their roast beef and their ham. They were trying to be Arby's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and Wendy's and McDonald's all at the same time, and they just ended up being bad. Okay? We have something that is absolutely unique. There's only one other place in Jacksonville that you can go to get it, and they're on the other side of the river. Prince of Peace is the only other place in Jacksonville where you can go and get Convergence Worship. You're not going to go anywhere in town and find a place where you have the evangelical stream flowing into charismatic stream, flowing into the sacramental stream. That's what we do better than anybody else. You don't see Kentucky Fried Chicken trying to sell burgers. They do a bad job of it. You don't see McDonald's trying to sell fried chicken. They do a bad job of it. Church of the Messiah does not need to try and be New Life. It doesn't need to be First Baptist. It doesn't need to be Immaculate Conception. Although their building would be nice. We're not them. They do some things really well. We do our thing really well. Here's the thing. Because I'm apparently energetic, I want to do all of that better. I want to step up our game in each of those fields. What's my vision? My vision is to do what we do best, better. Thursday night, there was nowhere in Jacksonville where somebody could have come and seen a service as amazing as we had here. With the worship, with the liturgy, with the Word of God preached. There was nowhere in Jacksonville that they would have seen that. Not a single place. We need to find a way to bring that. There are people who say, we need to have the Holy Spirit moving, and we need to have prophecies and people getting healed and anointing and words and all that, and yes and amen. And we need to have the Word of God preached more powerfully and people being converted more powerfully and people being made disciples of, and we need to up our evangelical game as much as we need to up our charismatic game. And we need to up our sacramental and liturgical game just as much. And that's what we need to do. There's nowhere in Jacksonville that somebody's going to get that. We need to be better at all of it. Not just raising one stream. The CEC's vision is three mighty streams flowing together. We don't want to be trying to duplicate one church or one stream. We want those three streams flowing more powerfully. You know what else we need to do? We need to get out of these walls. Amen. Now, I'm not just talking about moving into a different building. Here's what I think about moving into a different building. It's like paying your electric bill. Okay? It's like getting a new roof on your house. You have to do it. It's a necessity. Eventually, we're going to have to get out of this building, probably sooner rather than later. Amen. We have to move. That's right. You got to plan for it. You got to save money for it. You got to get it done, because if you don't, your roof collapses. And then you got no place to stay. We have to do it. But that's a necessity. But I don't know if it's exactly a ministry goal. Because I don't remember anywhere that Jesus said, go forth in my name and build buildings. Okay? Now, he said a lot of things. But raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. Build buildings? No. Now, that isn't to say that getting into a new building isn't important. I said it's a necessity. We got to move. But in terms of ministry goals, we got to seek first the kingdom. That's the ministry goal. Getting a new building is like getting your roof fixed. Okay? When I talk about getting out of these four walls, I'm talking about going to our neighbors, going to our friends, going to our family, going to this community right out here. I'm talking about what we did when we gave school supplies to 100 needy children. I'm talking about our All Saints Festival coming up in a couple months. Last year when we did that, we had people come to us and say, thank God for you guys. There's no place around here that's safe that we can take our kids because it's just a bad neighborhood. That was before all the crime that we've had in the last 2 weeks. Before we've had one kid after another sexually assaulted. Before you had somebody grabbed off the road while walking down the street. The parents are going to be even more scared, even more concerned. The church needs to be the light in the darkness. And on All Saints, that's going to be literal. We're going to be a light in a parking lot saying, hey, we're safe, come here. And we're not only going to give them food, which, don't you know, when we've done that, there have been people who've taken 7 and 8 hot dogs home for their families because they don't get food at night. But they get to play, they get to be safe, they get to have a good time, and we get to preach the gospel to them. That's important. We want to do more of that. You know, our colleague today talked about increasing us true religion. In James' epistle, chapter 1, verse 27, it says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, visit the orphans and widows in their trouble, keep oneself unspotted from the world. there's a lot of widows and orphans over across the street. If they're not literally and actually widows and orphans, they may as well be, because they're abandoned. They need the church. And we happen to be the one that's across the street. That means that they're our mission field. Your mission field is your workplace. It's the place where you go all the time. It's the place where you go and say, hey, look, I know you're in trouble. I know that you've got this issue going on. Come with me. I know some place that can help. We've got great things going on here. We've heard a lot in the last week about well done, good and faithful servant. And that was well earned. But there's something else. In Matthew 13, Jesus talks about the angels coming forth and grabbing people and pulling them in and sorting them out. And he says, the kingdom of God, therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasures, things old and new. This is who we are. We're the treasures old and new. We have the Word of God, the gifts of the Spirit, the liturgy. These are treasures old. And the way we do things is new. We go out into the streets. We give people school supplies. We play games with them. We throw whipped cream pies in the face of all our priests. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a louder amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be the king. Trying to get other people to participate in that for 3 years now. We have a great task before us. We have an incredible opportunity to serve. You know, one of the things that Bishop said, and he charged me with, is being the servant of the servants of Christ. But you know what? That's not just my charge. That's all of our charge. My charge is to lead you by example so that you do the same. Because you want to know how we get into that new building? We do it by packing this place out so much that we have two services on a Sunday morning, one on a Saturday night, maybe even one on a Sunday afternoon. We got four priests. That's one for each of us. We can handle it. There you go. I think John's volunteering for something. And I may have just found a way to get John to be quiet.
I'll never say another.
This may go down as my first miracle. Christ have mercy. We have wonderful opportunities in front of us. We have opportunities to serve the community. We have opportunities to serve our family. We have opportunities to serve our friends. There is a whole world around us that doesn't know Christ. And we have a way of showing Christ's love that nobody else in Jacksonville does. which means that we have something that we can give that nobody else can. We have a challenge and a charge and a privilege that is unique to this city. What an honor and a privilege it is that God has given us this gift at this time to be able to go into this part of this city with something that no one else has and to carry his message to these people in a way that no one else can. We have such a unique blessing. And you know what? They'll probably say all sorts of just crazy and weird things about us. And who cares? We're dealing with things eternal. And if they curse and revile us, they did so of Jesus. Why would they do less to us? Amen. Count it all blessing, because we're laboring in the vineyard, and the fruit that we bear in his name, and the everything else that we get in return, whether it's blessings or curse, we earn in his name. And anything we get from him is just total blessing. So it's an honor and a privilege to lead you now, because we have an amazing call and an incredible blessing before us. And I'm honored to do so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.